Well, good morning and welcome to our virtual service. We are so thankful that you chose to join us this morning. Before we start, would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your abiding presence with us. Lord, I'm thankful that no matter where we find ourselves this morning, that you are with us and that your presence is leading us and guiding us. Lord, I'm thankful for the promise in Scripture that says you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so right now, no matter where we are, I'm thankful that we can still be together. So Lord, I pray for your word this morning, that it would be illuminated in our hearts, that our minds and our eyes and our ears would be open to receive your word today. And again, Jesus, no matter what it is that we're going through, no matter what it is we're experiencing today, I pray for your abiding peace and your presence to lead us, guide us, and be with us, I pray. In your name, amen. Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Steve, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here at Trinity. And I want to welcome you to Base Camp, as you heard me say earlier. Now, some of you may be asking, what is Base Camp? What does this mean? Well, Base Camp is actually, it's a launching off point. It's when you're going on any type of expedition or a long trip or a journey, or if you're going to climb Everest, it all starts with a base camp. You establish the base camp first, and then it's the launching off point from there to continue on the journey. Well, that's exactly how we're going to use this series. This series is going to be a couple of weeks where we're going to look at the tools of camping, a look at the tools of being in a base camp, and how we can apply that to our spiritual lives, because we're all on a journey. And I'm not just speaking about the journey that we find ourselves in the season that we're in right now, but the journey even after COVID-19, even after quarantine. You know, I love camping because it gets us away. And unfortunately, there's no place that you can go right now to get away. But Base Camp is going to be where we start. This is going to be our launching off point. And so join me as we continue to move forward. So you heard me share earlier that fire plays an important role in survival. Shelter, fire, water, and food. That's really kind of the order for survival 101. And fire is really important. As I was thinking about fire, and even as I was reading in Scripture this week, it reminded me of how God led the people of Israel. So I want to give you a second, but I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. So Exodus chapter 13 is where we're going to start reading. I'm going to give you a few minutes or a few seconds to grab your Bible, maybe to grab a drink, you know, grab your coffee. And I've got my coffee here. Don't leave home without it. And I want to invite you to join me in Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to start looking at this story of how God led the people of Israel. Now, let me give you a little bit of context. This is after the 10 plagues. This is after Moses looked at his stepbrother and he said, "Let my people go." And Ramesses was not having any of that. The Pharaoh at the time was not having any of that. But he finally, after the plague of death came through, he looked at Moses and he said, "Go. Get out of here." And he let Israel go. 430 years, Israel was enslaved in Egypt. 430 years. And in one night, it says in Scripture that 600,000 men, that's just the men, so not including the women, so close to well over a million, close to 2 million people left Egypt after 430 years. So we pick up the story in Exodus 13, starting at verse 21. Verse 21 reads, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people." Man, could you imagine that image? This pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night. It's almost like, I kind of imagine this like kind of almost like a tornado in a way that led the people. So here's the first point for our message today. And I want you to capture this. The Lord goes before you. The Lord goes before you. What we can learn from the Scripture that we just read is that the Lord goes before you. Now, I want you to notice that the Lord went before Israel either by day or by night. It didn't matter if it was day or night, the Lord led them. And you heard me share that it was a pillar of smoke or a cloud of smoke by day, and it was a pillar of fire by night. And Israel at this point had to trust God. They had to trust that this smoking tornado pillar of fire and cloud was actually going to lead them in the right place. They didn't have the time or the opportunity to be backseat drivers. I mean, could you imagine, Moses is leading the people, Moses is following the pillar of fire, and somebody in the back is yelling, "No, I think we were supposed to turn left." You had over close to 2 million people, and there were some grumbling and complaining, but they had to trust God, that God knew where he was going and how he was going to get them there. Question maybe for us this morning to think about is, do you trust God enough to lead you through the day or night experiences of your life? I mean, do you trust God enough with knowing that God can lead you, whether it's day or night, and that you're not going to become the backseat driver as God leads you? You know, "Oh God, I saw you made a left there. I'm not sure that was going to be the quickest way. Maybe what we should do is hang a right over there." And I always heard the great phrase, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are, right? Do you trust enough, either by day or by night, of your experience in life to follow God where he leads you? I was reading in scripture this week. I've been reading in the book of Isaiah. I think Isaiah really is a great book to read in this season of time. And I was in chapter 40 this week. And I started reading in verse 31. It says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength." You might be familiar with this passage. "They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Wow, what a great promise in there. I love the "they wills," right? They will soar. They will run. They will walk and not faint. But if you notice, it's all predicated on one particular word in the scripture here: trust. If you trust in the Lord, you will have and find new strength. Maybe in this season of time that you're in, and maybe during this quarantine and this COVID situation, you need to find new strength. Well, in order, as scripture tells us, to find new strength is to trust in the Lord. Israel's trust would be tested when, as they were leaving Egypt, they were coming up upon the Red Sea. And this was very odd and strange for them because they needed to trust that God knew where he was going, but it seemed a little bit weird that they were walking towards what seemingly looked like an ocean. I mean, it was water. All they saw was water in front of them, and all they heard was the hoofbeats of Pharaoh's army behind them. So we move to Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus 14, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Then the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved to the rear of the camp." Now, this is important. Check this out. "The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptians and the Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night." So here's point number two that we can learn for this morning. The Lord goes behind you. So not only does the Lord go before you, but he also goes behind you. He's not only clearing the way and showing you the path, but he's also your rear guard. Now, I want you to imagine this scene. The sun is setting. The Pharaoh's army is approaching. The Red Sea isn't getting smaller. And suddenly this cloud that was a pillar of smoke now begins to glow. And that glow begins to cast light out onto all the people of Israel. I mean, this is like an amazing image. And before that, Israel is up against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is approaching. I'm sure that panic started to set in. I'm sure that they were probably pretty scared. When you know the Pharaoh's army is coming and it's the most powerful army in the world, you're going to be frightened. But, even asking the question, what do we do? It was amazing in verse 20. Look at what it says. It says that the cloud settled between them. Notice this. The cloud settled between them. So in between Pharaoh's army and the Israelites was God. God took the position in between their greatest fear and their point of rescue. God protected them. This is good news. God stands between his people and their enemy. Man, I can't tell you right now how good that is for me to even hear, to know that the enemy, whatever it is that we're facing or experiencing, God stands between. He not only goes before us, but he also goes behind us. And as we are trying to move away from the enemy in our life, God stands and he stands guard and he is our shield. Now, this isn't the first time that God revealed himself through fire. Now, I want you to jump over to Exodus 3. So the beginning of the book of Exodus, I want you to check this out. In the beginning of Exodus chapter 3, we find the story of Moses. Now, Moses was Jewish when he was born. He didn't know that until later. And then he finds himself going and he leaves Egypt. And he's out in the wilderness. He starts a new life and he's tending his father-in-law Jethro's flock. He's doing the shepherd thing. And all of a sudden, he looks over and he sees this peculiar image. this image of a bush that was fully inflamed, but it wasn't succumbed by the flames. And this was very unique. So, Exodus 3, verse 9 and 10. If you're ready, let's read this. It says, "Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me." Now, this is God talking to Moses from the burning bush. "And I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." So the Lord commands Moses from this burning bush to go to Israel and to do the very thing that we just read about in Exodus 13 and 14, to lead the people out. But he does this as a bush that's on fire. Now, this is interesting. So here's the point number three that I want to point out. The Lord hears your cries. The Lord hears your cries. In fact, if we were to go back for a second into that Exodus 3 passage, I want you to look at something real fast here. In Exodus 3, so we're going to go back one. It says that the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. God is communicating to Moses that he has heard the cries of his people. That's why it's important for us to remember that the Lord hears our cries. David, in Psalm 145, he writes this particular psalm in a kind of a testimony of knowing that God hears us when we call. In fact, in verses 18 and 19, it says, "The Lord is close to all who call on him." It's David saying, "I know this because I've done it." And I can proclaim that this morning as well, that I can testify that the Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and he rescues them. Look at this incredible promise that he grants the desires of those who fear him and he hears their cries for help. And not only does he hear their cries, but he rescues them. Now, sometimes we are confused and we want to be rescued faster than maybe God is prepared or ready to rescue us. And we have to be okay with God's timing. Just like the Israelites had to be okay with where God was leading them and trust, we need to be okay with how he is hearing our cries and how he will choose to rescue us. Now, as we continue in this, I want to turn to one last passage of scripture. So lastly, I want you to go to Exodus 40. Now, Exodus 40 is the last chapter in Exodus. So I want you to jump over to Exodus 40 because God was not done leading his people. He was about to show them again how he was going to lead them by actually becoming and leading them by a pillar of fire. So in Exodus 40, verses 36, we're going to start in verse 36. So Exodus 40, verse 36 says, Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night fire glowed inside the cloud so that the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. Now, this is a really important passage of scripture. This is after they've crossed through the Red Sea, which, by the way, be reminded this morning that when they crossed through the Red Sea, they did it at night. When Moses held the staff over his head and the sea parted, it was at night. So this pillar of fire led the people through the Red Sea at night. Now they're camped. Now they have the instructions from God about creating the tabernacle, which would be the place of worship. It would be the place that God would meet with man. That would be the intersection of heaven and earth, right there, the tabernacle. And in that moment, it tells us that the cloud remained there. Every time it stayed there, they stayed. When the cloud left, they left. When the pillar of fire rested upon the tabernacle, everybody stopped. They worshiped. And when the fire moved, they moved. I mean, God was a nomadic God. He didn't want to have one place for his presence to be held. He wanted to move with the people, and he wanted to lead the people. This was really important. And these are the last words of the book of Exodus. This continued throughout all their journeys. This continued throughout all their journeys. I want you to consider this. Without God's glory, the tabernacle was just a fancy tent. It literally was just a large tent in the middle of the wilderness. And the people of God, the Israelites, were encamped around the tent. They were all divided by the 12 tribes of Israel, and they all had different responsibilities, but they all faced towards the tabernacle. And again, that without God's glory, that was just a glorified tent. It had no special meaning. It was just a fancy tent. And without God's glory, the people of Israel would have been lost. And I believe the same can be said for us as well. And it can be said about the church. It can be said about our home or even our human tents. Without God's glory, it's just a fancy home. Without God's glory, it's just a fancy church. And without God's glory, this human body, well, it's just a fancy tent. That's why we need to desire God's glory to permeate and to penetrate all of those things. Here's something to consider. Fire didn't just represent God's leading. We see the example of God leading through fire, but we also see an example that fire also represents God's presence. Man, this is such good news. This is good for us to hear this morning, because fire represented God's presence. In each case that we read today, and if you read even more of Exodus, you'll hear this language over and over again, because God says to Moses from the burning bush, he says to the people as he's leading them out of Israel, he says it to them as he leads them through the Red Sea, he says it to them while they're encamped together waiting to cross into the promised land, he says it to them over and over again, even when Israel messes up in the wilderness and they have to spend more time going the roundabout way to get to the promised land because of their misdeeds and because they worshiped other gods and not the God who rescued them. Even through all of that, God speaks these words into them. He says, I will be with you. I will be with you. He tells Moses from a burning bush. Moses is like, I don't talk very good. And God says, Moses, I'll do the talking for you. And he says, how can I lead the people, God? And God says, because I will be with you. Again, this is good news. Be reminded this morning that God is with us. He's Emmanuel, not just on December 25th, but he's Emmanuel, God with us, even right now. And like a signal fire in our lives, God shows up and he cares for us. Catch this. He places himself between us and our enemies. He bestows his glory upon us, even though we don't deserve it. And his presence, it makes us holy as his Father is holy. Jesus says, be holy for I am holy. And God says, be holy for I am holy. And the only way that we can be holy is through the presence of God in our lives. His signal fires for our life are like guiding us, a ship getting close to the rocks, the dangerous rocks or the shallows, moving into a harbor. And God, his signal fire directs us and navigates us to find a safe port. Again, this is such good news. So just like fire draws us into community with each other, it also reminds us that we're always in community with God. That's good news. Now, I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you to be in community. I know what you're thinking. You're like, how can I be in community when I'm not allowed to be within 6 feet of my neighbors? I'm not allowed to go anywhere without wearing a mask. I can't go out and talk to people without being, you know, socially distant. How can I be in community? Well, because I think our definition of community is maybe a little skewed. I want to challenge you this week to be in community, not just in community with God, right? Not just in community with God, but also in community with each other. See, I always love using this symbol as community because it's not just communion with God, like the upright form of a cross, but it's also in community with each other. You see, the cool thing about the tabernacle in the desert, it was the place where heaven and earth met. And then Jesus came and he says, behold, I am the new tabernacle. And then before he leaves, he looks at his disciples and he says, behold, you are the new tabernacle. You see, folks, we are the place where heaven and earth meet. And we need God's glory, just like the Israelites needed God's glory, just like Moses needed God's glory. We are in desperate need of God's glory. And we need to not use it just for ourselves because that's not the reason why he gave it. He gave it to us to be able to use it for others around us. Because of our vertical relationship with him, it causes us to think about our horizontal relationship with each other because of his presence. Now, of course, I want you to be safe. But I want you to think about the ways that you can be in community with your neighbors this week. Get creative. Because here's the thing. You can take the fire of God with you into those events or actions or activities. You take the fire of God with you. So here's some ideas. Write a note. Just simply write a note. Drop it in your neighbor's mailbox. You know, you don't have to pay for a stamp. That's cool. Send a text. And when you send a text, just check in to your neighbor. Say, hey, how's it going? Anything I can do for you? Maybe the most important question you can ask your neighbor this week is, how can I pray for you? You see, our neighbors are experiencing life circumstances that are maybe even beyond what we're experiencing. And so in those moments, it's not a delayed prayer. It's not a, oh, I'll pray for you and then not do it. It's, I'll pray for you. Is it okay if I pray right now? And then pray with your neighbor. You know, I've never had somebody tell me that they weren't okay with me praying for them. Literally, all the people in my life I've ever asked, hey, can I pray with you? Most people say, absolutely. So don't be afraid of that. Pray for them right there in that moment. Here's an idea. Have a fire pit in your front yard. You know, seriously, sit outside in the front yard or on the driveway. And I've seen other people in our neighborhood doing this, and everybody can be socially distant and making sure that you're safe, but it's still, you're in community together. And trust me, it's cold enough. I mean, seriously, if you need to prepare for survival skills in Illinois, just plan for winter because it just never ends. Holy smokes. So start a fire in your front yard, safe, of course, or have a fire pit in your driveway and just invite your neighbors to come around. Use the Nextdoor Neighbor app and say, hey, we're going to have a fire. We'd love for you to come and join us. I mean, just be in community. Think about those ways because not only is God with you, but he also desires to be with your neighbors. I think this is important to be reminded of. It's not only that God is with you, but he wants to be in relationship with your neighbor. So I want you to think about this. You are the spark that can help create a spiritual fire in the heart of your neighbor. You are the spark. We can't just wait for God's divinity to fall or to move and to do the miraculous in someone's life, because I believe that that can happen, but I believe that he's waiting for you to be the spark. You can be the spark that ignites a spiritual passion for God in the heart of your neighbor. So go and be that spark. So as we end our message this morning at Base Camp, the first week of Base Camp, the tool that we looked at in our toolbox is fire. And I want you to make sure that as we build this toolbox, that you understand what fire represents. It's not just God's leading, but it's also God's presence. So as we continue to move forward from here in our journey together, I pray, just as it says in the words, that this continued throughout all their journeys, that you'll take the fire of God with you no matter where you go. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for, again, your presence with us. And knowing that you desire to lead us, and even though right now we might feel like we're heading towards a Red Sea moment in our lives, and the enemy is fastly approaching behind us, I'm thankful that you stand between us. I'm thankful that your glory in the tabernacle in the desert is the same glory that you wanted to bestow upon the tabernacle of our hearts. And that, Lord, we would not hoard that for ourselves, but we would share that with our neighbors. Again, Lord, we pray for your heart to intersect with our heart so that our heart can intersect with the heart of our neighbors this week. We thank you for this. We pray it in your name. Amen.